The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program.
Today's show takes us back to December 1985.
All right, well, it's still winter, and it's still Ask the Professor.
And the Tower Chimes are still on vacation.
That's right. They're in Florida.
Right. Lucky dogs.
Brought to you by the University of Detroit.
Yeah.
This is the radio program on which you match wits with the University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today, as we are approaching the end of 1985.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing? We have most of our panel with us. On my right from the Department of Psychology, Professor Robert O'Neill.
Pleased to be here.
Pleased to have you here. On his right from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
It's nice to be here.
It's nice to have you here. On my left from the Department of Political Science of Oakland University, Professor John Klemanski.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
And
Friend
Wallace isn't here today.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Oh, he's doing registration
someplace. We won't be ringing out the old year with him
here. No, we'll have to ring in the new one next week with Wallace. That's right.
Okay.
Most of the questions you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you will receive an autograph photograph, a photographed autograph, and a bumper sticker.
Why don't we continue the tradition of giving them everything this week?
Why not?
We could do that.
We could do that.
Then we'll stop the tradition immediately.
Yes, we'll...
I was going to say, I hope we don't have any questions on old TV shows or lousy films or anything, because Wallace is gone.
And
we haven't said
trouble.
Hi to his mom and dad
either. That's right. Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Peace.
Yes. Or do your Wallace imitation.
I wouldn't do that. Not on the air. Okay, let's go back to where we were last time. We were in the midst of some questions on astronomy by Daniel Swertniewicz of Algonac, Michigan. And he was asking you historical astronomy questions or about historical astronomers or something like that.
We were kind of slogging along, weren't we?
Yes, that's right.
That's exactly wandering around.
This astronomer was born in England in 1642 and lived until 1727. His tomb is in Westminster Abbey and bears the epitaph, "Mortals, congratulate yourselves that so great a name has lived for the honor of the human race." Who is this man?
Modesty Blaise.
Francis Bacon.
No.
An astronomer, English astronomer.
Mm-hmm.
English astronomer.
The biggie. Mm-hmm.
Newton.
That's right.
Sir Isaac.
It's funny, you don't think of him as an astronomer
necessarily. Really don't. No.
But, F equals MA.
Trivia buff.
Some other things,
The Hale telescope on Mount Wilson was the largest telescope in the world for 30 years. What is the diameter of the mirror of this telescope in inches?
It's over 30, certainly. That's a standard.
Yes.
It's about 60, maybe?
Oh, more than that.
More than that, 120.
It's higher than that.
904.
No.
It's about 200, let's
say. That's right, 200, right on the button, that's it.
Soon there will be a 904-inch.
I bet you're right. What type of glass was invented by Corning Glassworks specifically for the Hale telescope?
Transparent.
Unbreakable.
No, it's,
what kind of
it's
glass?
Heat-resistant.
Heat-resistant, yeah.
Became a brand name.
Right.
Because
that's what you put in the oven now when you want to bake your bread or whatever.
That?
What do you call it?
Mm-hmm.
Corningware.
Well, yes, you
call it heat-resistant glass. Oh, Pyrex.
Pyrex. That's Corningware.
That is a brand name.
They might want to put a pizza on there.
that's true. Never thought of that. In the year 1582, Pope Gregory XIII issued a proclamation that stated that 10 days would be dropped from the current year. Why?
We had 10 days too many. We needed to readjust the calendar.
That's right.
Back.
That's essentially it.
Yes.
That's essentially it. That's right.
So much for the Julian calendar.
That's right. It was the end of the Julian calendar.
Mm-hmm. I still like it.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have to do all kinds of readjusting now. I'm working in the history of Ramsay as if anybody didn't
Greater Ramsay.
We did know that, yes.
But I'm into the 16th century, and for the first time in my historical career, I have to consciously be aware of the fact that there's this great shift in the dating around that period, because suddenly you can't take anybody for granted anymore.
You have to put an asterisk by all these things after
That's right.
Gregorian
the old date, the new date. Oh, that's terrible.
And there was saint, wasn't there, that died during the night of November 2nd to the 12th? Something like that.
Yes, yes.
I think that was Maria Goretti.
Well, we thank Mr. Sretnevich. He didn't stump the panel, but...
But he gave it a darn good
try.
We're going to give him
the whole Christmas package anyway, so we'll call him a winner, because those were winning questions.
Yes.
Those really
challenged us, I thought.
I thought so, too.
Yes.
But we were equal to the task.
Oh, of course.
More than equal.
Of course.
And not many hints, either.
Not many, no.
Not too bad.
Our next set of questions comes from Neil Roberts of Detroit, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
who says, "Dear professors, we've all seen those presidential firsts, you know, the first president to wear false teeth, etc.
Mm-hmm.
How about a slightly offbeat list of presidential firsts?"
Who was the first president to wear false teeth?
And he wants George Washington.
Oh. Yeah.
But he wants 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Who was the first president to be a college dropout?
Oh, my.
Early on.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't Jackson.
Very early?
Well, no, not very, very early.
We're talking mid-1800s, maybe?
Early
1800s.
Yeah, it wasn't Millard Fillmore.
No.
Marty Van Buren.
No, he had a doctrine named after him.
Monroe.
Yes, yes.
A college dropout.
Hmm.
Who was the first president to never vote in any presidential election?
How could that be?
Taft.
That's got to be Fillmore.
Taft. He couldn't get through the door.
No, it wasn't Taft.
This must be early also.
Yes, yes. It's in that bunch of presidents I always think, who would ever know their names?
Yeah.
You know,
like that, Tyler or Clay.
Yes, that group.
Clay,
Clay wasn't a president.
No.
The whole area about that.
Oh.
Tyler.
We're talking Madison. Early to mid-1800s.
That's right. That's right.
Fillmore.
No.
Tyler, Taylor, Polk.
Oh. It was Taylor, yes.
Well, he was a general in the Army. He didn't know what he was doing.
That's right. Yeah.
He was busy.
Well, Eisenhower used to brag, remember, that he had never voted his entire life.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Did he vote in 52 or 56?
Because he was a general and in the Army, and in the Army he just took orders. He didn't bother to involve himself in the political process.
Yeah, they were
on.
Yeah, right. They didn't believe in democracy.
No.
They
just marched. You know.
Right.
Who was the first president to have illegitimate children?
Well, let's
Jefferson.
That's right.
Hey, good, Mary
Jo. That's right.
The first of many, probably.
Probably, yes. Who was the first president to remarry while in the White House?
To
remarry.
Because that leaves out President Reagan.
That's right. That's right.
Hmm.
It's another one of those forgotten presidents.
Fairly early, or?
Same.
Tyler.
Tyler. That's right.
Very good.
Tyler.
It's not Taylor. It's got to be
Tyler. No, his first wife fell over in that canoe, probably, right?
Yes.
Tip a canoe.
He tipped the canoe.
Be Van Buren.
And Mrs. Tyler went too. Okay. Who was the first president to be gay? Or the question I hear is what they used to call a lifelong bachelor.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Didn't ever marry.
Yeah.
Oh, what was his name? Buchanan.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It should be pointed out, however, that there were people in the past who were simply lifelong bachelors.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
that's a value judgment that this questioner is probably making.
We have to be careful about that.
Yeah.
Who was the first president to be left-handed?
Well, I probably know
we
all
just
those.
Did this, and it was Harry Truman.
Truman,
before
Garfield.
That.
Who was?
It's one of those.
There's three of them, right?
Yes.
Oh, it's one of those?
One of those,
too. Oh,
well,
it's got to be Garfield.
The first one
that's
is Garfield.
Right.
Who was the third one? Do we remember?
Jerry Ford.
Jerry Ford.
That's right.
That's right.
That's
okay.
That's right. Who was the first president to be an alcoholic?
Grant.
The first of many, also, probably.
Well, certainly the more illustrious.
It wasn't Grant.
Earlier than Grant?
Uh-huh.
Earlier than Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier than, let's say, Andy Jackson? He's in the late 1820s, early
after.
Okay, so it's between 1830 and 1860.
Well, we're back to Tyler, 70. Taylor, Polk, Van Buren.
Yes.
Is it one of those?
It's that crowd.
Who's?
How about Van Buren? This
no,
time?
No,
is
no.
it before Van Buren?
I don't know the dates, the sequence.
Polk.
These are people that are completely not entities to me.
Oh. Okay, we've got your basic Andy Jackson, then you have a Martin Van Buren, then you have a... Tyler, Taylor, Polk, Lincoln, Johnson?
No.
Grant.
This one must be, I don't know when this one is then. He must be before.
Chester A. Arthur.
No. Franklin Pierce.
Oh, Pierce.
When is
Pierce? He's in the 50s, I think, or something.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, I don't know where he is.
Oh, well. Who was the first president to never attend school?
never attend school at all.
So we're not even talking about college dropout.
No.
We're talking about
no school at all.
That's right.
Never fully matriculating anywhere.
How about Rough and Ready Jackson?
Nope.
Before Jackson?
After Jackson.
After Jackson.
Mm-hmm. After Lincoln, too.
After Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Johnson.
That's unusual.
Right. Andrew Johnson.
That's quite unusual.
Who was the first to have an epileptic wife?
Epileptic. Oh, that's talking trivia here.
Yeah. Really?
Gossipy.
Let's see.
Early?
We're talking 1800s still?
Well, he was elected in the 1800s.
It's got to be McKinley, then.
Yes. Yes.
Good question, huh?
Yeah.
Who was the first president to have no interesting first in his life or career?
Fillmore.
That's right.
Well, he did have Fillmore. A couple of interesting
well,
things.
Well, yeah. Didn't we have that whole set of questions about
sure.
having the first bathtub?
Yeah.
And
things
apparently
like
that,
and that other thing.
Apparently that was either made up by H.L. Mencken or someone like that.
Didn't he have the first library, too, and stuff? I remember those questions.
Yeah, he has done something. He must have.
That's
must have.
Too bad George wasn't here for that.
That's right. Yeah. Well,
shuffling back to Buffalo.
That's right. Well, we thank Mr. Roberts. Mm-hmm. He didn't
stop
the panel. That's it.
Hey,
that's
pretty good.
But he'll get the complete package anyway.
The AirSats winner's package.
The end of the year.
Great.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And now we're going to end up 1985, if it takes us all the rest of this show.
Don't
the rest
turn
of this
that
year.
Dial
with Mac Smith of Mendocino County, California.
Let's close out 85 with Mac and
yes,
never
gonna,
hear from him again.
We're going to close out. I think Mac's finally left Mendocino
He's
County.
He's probably, yeah.
Heaven knows where he is. I don't know if we have enough. No, just I don't keep, think we have again. Enough. Yes. The people
we'll start all over again
with
yeah.
Mac.
We can start.
And the producer just shot himself.
We'll have enough. Yeah.
Oh, no, we do. We do.
Yeah,
I just noticed here. Yes,
okay.
Yes. We're all set.
All right. Okay, lay it on us. Let's have it.
Okay.
Before.
But first, let's have a little break.
Most of the questions you hear on Ask the Professor are sent in by our listeners. All winners will receive an autographed photograph of the panel, while every loser will receive a photographed autograph. And everyone receives the Ask the Professor bumper sticker, personally designed by the professors themselves. You can send your questions, with the correct answers, please, to Ask the Professor.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor. You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from December 1985. We're pleased to bring you these special classic shows throughout the summer months, and thank you for listening. Now, let's return to this classic Ask the Professor show from December 1985.
Hey. And we're back to end up 1985 with our questions from Mac Smith of Mendocino
Good
County.
Mac. Mac's been with us the entire year. It's
yes, he has.
He's been a
That's
groupie.
Right. That's right. Hammer, anvil, and stirrup are what?
Parts of the ear.
The bones
That's
in
right.
the ear.
Oh, yeah,
That's
bones.
That's right. Very, very good. Okay. What was the year of the San Francisco earthquake?
1906.
That's right. 1906. Would anybody care to hum a few bars of San Francisco? See, if Wallace were here, he would go on talking about what a horrible movie it was
with
Jeanette McDonald and everybody else.
Right. That he saw four times.
Yes. It
on
wasn't
State
as
Street,
good as
that great
Atragon attacked San Francisco.
Right.
Of that sort, but he's not here, so we can't talk about that.
Right.
Okay. On the Celsius temperature scale, the boiling point of water is what?
100.
That's right. 100.
What's the freezing point?
Yes.
Ought.
Zero.
That's right.
Not. Very good. What is the largest flying bird?
Pterodactyls.
No.
That are presently alive?
Still
Top
alive.
Of pterodactyl.
The condor.
No.
The
Think
the
of the rhyme
anaconda.
Of the ancient mariner.
Albatross.
Albatross.
Okay.
Albatross. That's right. Okay. What is the world's fastest running animal?
For short distances, long distances,
it doesn't
or...
say.
Well, there's the
Antelope.
Cheetah.
Yeah.
Cheetah.
Okay. Cheetah's the answer I have here.
They don't have much staying power, but they are darn fast in a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Depends what's chasing them.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're caught cheating.
That's right.
How much food will you eat in your lifetime?
I don't think that's any of your business, frankly. But
tons.
Yes, that's right. How many tons?
Four.
No.
44.
That's getting there.
Really?
64.
That's too high.
50.
That's right. 50 tons. The average tons. American eats 50 tons of food.
50 tons. How much prune juice?
That's how you keep slim.
Yes.
4 quarts.
Name the theoretical restriction on the accuracy of measuring the position and momentum of very small particles.
Name the theoretical restriction
on the accuracy of measuring the position and momentum of very small particles.
As far as the eye can see. As small as the eye can see.
Is this a mathematical, or is this named after someone?
It's named after somebody. Yes.
Heisenberg.
That's it.
Of course.
The Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Of course.
My God.
I taught the cross-disciplinary course.
That is truly amazing.
Yes.
The lightest noble gas is what?
Noble?
That's what it says, noble.
Noble.
Well,
I mean, it probably wouldn't smell badly.
Helium.
That's right. That's right.
Why is that a noble gas?
I don't know.
It rises.
Oh. I see.
It's not inert.
It's a very classy gas. It is.
Right.
It's quite noble.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not as much fun as nitrous oxide.
No, that's
there are four conic sections, four sections of a cone.
Right.
Circle is one.
Okay, Mary Jo, go for it.
No. Parabola.
That's
all right.
Hyperbola.
All
ten
right.
Ellipse.
That's
ooh.
It.
And point.
That's
look at that.
Point.
Point. I mean,
points
point
at the tip
everything.
Of the cone.
That's
yeah,
right.
Sure, and that's where the ice cream drips out of.
Very
it.
Right. Good.
Spot your bite first.
The ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter is called?
Pi r squared.
Of the circumference
no,
to its
not
diameter,
diameter,
pi.
That's right, just pi. Plain old pi.
That's the definition of pi, too.
That was
pi squared is the radius to the area. Yeah.
The longest and strongest bone in your body is what?
The longest and strongest.
The
right.
backbone.
Spine.
You'd think, yeah, I think it would.
Yeah.
The fibula.
It begins with an F.
Femur.
Yeah. That's right.
Femur.
Okay. What do you call the aurora borealis?
Northern Lights.
That's right. The sun has what proportion of the total mass of the solar system?
Oh. 99 point.
That's it.
Is it?
That's it.
99%?
Yep. That
is about
it.
That.
Wow.
Don't seek extra precision where none is needed.
What flowering
I'm rounding.
Plant?
Yeah.
What flowering plant contains the drug digitalis?
Oh, what is
the digit
what is
plant?
That, what is
no,
that?
No.
Is it a common plant?
Yeah, it's a biennial.
Biennial. What are biennials?
That means they
dahlia.
Bloom 1 year
yeah,
and
yeah,
then the next year
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
You got to keep
mums,
planting.
Mums, geraniums.
No,
are they common?
They're very common.
Garden
they're
plants?
Kind of pinkish. A lot
pink.
Of them are
begonias.
We had one in our backyard that went 6 feet high.
Wow.
Since then, the rest have collapsed at about 8 inches.
Hmm. And it's a flowering plant.
Yes. And they look like artificial fingers that you'd put on your fingers.
Hmm. What are those things?
Foxglove.
Oh, foxglove.
Foxglove.
Ah.
Okay.
One for Mac.
Two planets have overlapping orbits.
Yes.
What are they?
Pluto and
yes.
Uranus.
Not Uranus.
Pluto and Neptune.
That's right.
That's
Pluto and Neptune. Yeah. In 1774, Joseph Priestley discovered what?
Oxygen.
That's right. Oxygen. Very good.
And it was good because people were really.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
That, things were getting. People were blue in the face
they didn't
and everything.
Know what to breathe.
It was terrible.
Anything. Golly.
Hurry, JP. Hurry.
Wow. Just in the nick of time.
Oh, brother. In my old hometown, Flint, Michigan, is 62 miles from Detroit. How many kilometers is 62 miles?
100.
That's right. That's right. Where do the highest tides in the world occur?
Where are the what?
The
Bay of Fundy.
That's right. The highest tides are in the Bay of Fundy.
Not very Fundy.
And what Detroit blacksmith built a boat trailer for a customer who went on to create a huge manufacturing operation?
Fruhoff.
That's right. That's right. All right. And finally, an ampere is a unit of what?
Electrical
something. Electrical current.
Current.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last question. This will be the final one.
The final one from
and there's one more after this, too. But
no,
this
is
exciting.
Ultra. This is the ultimate.
This is the final Max Smith question, folks. Max got to send in more questions.
Yep.
He wants any more
attention. Send in another box.
Can't afford the postage.
Who invented bifocals?
Benjamin Franklin.
That's it. And the first ones were wooden.
Well, we thank Max Smith. Max's going to get the whole package.
Oh, wooden.
Wow.
I mean, of course he has.
He's kept us occupied for a whole year. Yeah.
And we finally finished.
Finally got to the whole box.
Thanks, Mac.
Want to thank Mac. That was a lot of fun.
That was.
Send them their box.
Yeah.
we desperately need boxes next year. Yes.
All right.
Our next set of questions comes from Pat McGee of Chatham, Ontario.
Okay. International listener.
Yeah, we're really doing
good. That's lots we've got from Chatham.
This is my second set of questions. Okay. He said there are 21 questions on astronomy. Ooh, it's astronomy time.
What's this deal here?
Well, I guess because it's a new year.
Remember the answers we used before.
And Halley's Comet's coming up.
All that stuff. 18 is a passing score, plus 5 bonus questions on music.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Why don't we go to those right now?
Let's go to those.
What prominent celestial object is most incorrectly reported as a UFO?
Probably like Venus.
That's it. Venus. That's right. By using the best telescope on Earth, can the landing craft left on the moon by the Apollo astronauts be seen?
No.
No.
No, it's on the wrong
side. You know why? Because it's the same color as the moon's surface.
That's right.
So blends
why
in.
Didn't they paint it fluorescent?
I don't know. They weren't.
Somebody
thinking.
Could hit it on the way down, you know, next time around.
That's right. Bump right into it. What are believed to be the most remote celestial objects in the universe?
Quarks.
Not quarks.
Quasars.
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 Right. Which of the solar system's 9 planets have no moons?
Mercury.
That's right. And there's
Venus.
One more. Venus, that's right.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's all?
Pluto has one?
Apparently. What constellation does the North Star belong to?
Orion.
No.
The big, the small.
It's the
small,
small
Dipper.
Dipper.
Not the Dipper.
The Bear.
The Bear. Bear.
Ursa Minor.
That's right. What television talk show host is an avid amateur astronomer?
Carl Sagan.
No.
Billions and billions.
Talk show host.
Cabot?
No, but
David
late night.
Susskind. Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson.
Is there any other?
No.
What bizarre type of cosmic body is Cygnus X-1 believed to be?
A bizarre type of cosmic body.
Uh-huh.
It's a nova.
No. No.
A black hole.
A black hole. That's right.
Wow.
How many times farther away is the sun compared with the moon?
Oh, it's got to be.
Is it 40 times, 400 times, 400,000 times, or 40,000 times?
400,000.
Nope.
40,000.
40,000.
Nope.
400.
It's 400. Is
that all?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, 400.
You know, they're now taking deposits for the first tourist flight out into the... to wherever they're going, I'm not sure, but it's in outer space. It's going to cost $50,000.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And you have to put five down. It's not too bad.
No, that's
just
not bad.
$5 is not
$5,000. Five big bills there, Mary Jo.
What planet will be farthest from the sun until the year 1999?
Neptune, probably. Because Pluto's crossed already. And
that's right.
Inside.
Is the full moon higher in the sky during summer or winter?
Yes.
Winter.
It's winter, that's right. What major world power is not sending a spacecraft close to Halley's Comet?
None.
Nope.
Which one isn't?
Which one is not sending a spacecraft
what do you consider
close
a major
to Halley's Comet?
The U.S.
That's right.
Pretty good guess,
yeah.
Huh?
Yep.
The traffic's going to be terrible up there.
That certainly is. Does the North Pole or the South Pole receive the most daylight during the year?
North.
That's right, north.
That would be the north.
Yes.
It's tilted on an axis, you see.
What is the brilliant object seen in the December skies in the southwest sky at dusk?
Is it a planet?
It's a planet.
Is it Mars?
Nope.
Is it Jupiter, Saturn?
No.
Venus.
It's Venus.
I thought that was a morning star.
Yeah, it's the evening star.
Oh. What's the morning star?
Mars. I don't know.
One of those.
My nephew would know that. Yeah. How many stars are there in the Big Dipper?
Oh, billions and billions.
No.
In the Big Dipper,
probably seven. Bob had it seven.
As we count.
What constellation contains the Pleiades star cluster? The Pleiades. What constellation?
Is it in the northern sky or southern sky?
Well, it's not a lot of bull, I'll tell you.
Taurus.
That's right, Taurus. All right.
That would be Taurus, Eddie.
Okay.
It's not a lot of bull.
What country has the largest number of identified meteorite craters?
Is it in Africa?
Africa.
No, it isn't.
Is it in...
United States?
It's on our part of the world.
Mexico. Canada.
Canada.
That's a big country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think those are all just man-made lakes awaiting subdivisions.
What is the only planet whose surface features, not atmosphere, can be clearly seen in backyard telescopes?
Mars.
That's right. Mars.
The red guy.
Now we go on to the bonus questions. In the Addams Family...
Hey, we're doing pretty good even without the bonuses.
Yes. Right. In the Addams Family TV series, what is the name of the two pet piranha fish?
They're obviously the names of planets or stars or something.
No, they are. It is the name of a Wagnerian music drama.
This is our music question.
Yes. Oh, this is music.
Yes, we're on the music.
Tristan and Isolde.
That's right.
Is it really?
That's right. That's right. What four operas make up the Ring of the Nibelungs?
Where's Wallace when we need him?
He left.
Where are you when we need you?
Yeah.
Sigmund.
Think of a brand of New York beer.
Rheingold.
Oh, okay. Rheingold.
All right, then. What's the name of the warrior maidens that used to carry the dead?
Oh, the Valkyrie.
The Valkyrie. That's right. That's right. The name of a Germanic hero.
Sigmund.
Not Sigmund.
Siegfried.
Siegfried.
And Brunhilde.
Oh, my hero. Freud, of course.
Yes, yes, yes. And the last one deals with the... literally, the twilight of the gods.
Götterdämmerung.
Götterdämmerung, that's it.
Götter, not Goddard. Götter.
That's right.
Götter.
Götter.
Yes. Guttural is what it is.
In what year was the first televised complete opera, and what was the opera?
It was just this year.
No.
1960-something.
No, earlier
52.
Than that.
52.
Earlier than that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
40?
This would have been, is in the 40s.
48.
Earlier than that.
43.
43.
Wow.
The Stars and Stripes Forever.
No, it was an opera frequently associated with Christmas and kids. People always dragged their children.
I'm All in the Night Visitor.
No, that was written in 51 or so. This was written by Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh,
Sleeping.
Hansel and Gretel.
Hansel and Gretel. That's it. It must be one of those things just in the New York City area, when they were embedding TV.
Right.
What was Rossini's last opera?
His last.
Mm-hmm.
Is it one of the biggies, or...?
It's not a biggie.
Not a biggie.
But it certainly has an overture that, without it, the Lone Ranger would have gone nowhere.
William Tell.
William Tell.
Whatever happened to Bill?
He didn't tell.
That's right. Yeah. Finally, what music was used as a theme in the 1981 movie Excalibur?
I didn't see that.
I didn't either.
They used a lot of Wagner, but this was not Wagner. This was a big choral number, 20th century choral number based on medieval songs, medieval erotic drinking songs, what have you.
99 bottles of beer on the wall?
No, it was the Carmina Burana.
Carmina Burana. Yeah.
Okay. Well, panel, you did pretty darn well.
Actually, we did worse on those music questions than we did on astronomy.
Yeah, but you did pretty well.
Not too bad.
And the best...
Oh, dear.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Well, that's the end of the show for today.
Wow.
That's the end of the year. And on that note, I'd like to thank the panel, Professor O'Neill, Professor Nichols, Professor Klemanski, and now... Ask the Professor is transcribed to the facilities of the E.J. and A.U. Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Tom McParlin, a technical director at Jim Muir. Executive producer is Vivian Dix. And until next time, this is your host, Edwin DeWitt.
And I'm Michael Jason. We're back next week with another classic episode of Ask the Professor from February 1986.